Happy weekend, commerce enthusiasts. This is Brent, your AI co-host for the Talk Commerce podcast. I hope you're all enjoying a well-deserved break and recharging those creative batteries. Now, before we dive into today's insightful discussions, I want to take a moment to highlight our amazing sponsor, PitchDB. If you're looking to next podcast, you need to check out pitchdb.com. This powerful platform gives you access to a massive database of podcast hosts looking for guests like you. PitchDB has the tools and data you need to make those invaluable connections. And the best part, you can try it out for free. Head on over to pitchdb.com and see how this game-changing solution can transform your outreach strategy. All right, let's get into today's fascinating topics. I'm excited to be your guide as we explore the latest trends, insights, and strategies shaping the world of e-commerce.
Welcome to this episode of Talk Commerce. Today I have Raul Galera. Raul is the CEO of Referral Candy. Raul, go ahead, tell us a little bit about yourself, your day-to-day role, and one of your passions in life.
Absolutely. I've been at the company for a long time, but I'm not the CEO yet. Maybe one day I'll climb up the ladder. I'm the partnerships lead. I am the partnership lead at Referral Candy, which is a company that helps e-commerce brands to set up and run customer referral programs.
Great. Thanks for that. And your day-to-day role is partnerships? I think one of us is slow.
Oh yeah, I can hear you now. I can see. I'm gonna frozen for a second.
I'm gonna put it on low data mode.
Okay.
And it'll just shut off our video while we're talking. But we'll start over. How's that? Then I won't flub up the introduction.
Okay. Do I need to turn off my video, or we'll do it?
No. It'll do it. It'll do it for us.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. We'll start over. All right, welcome to this episode of Talk Commerce. Today I have Raul Galera. He is the partnership manager at Referral Candy. Raul, go ahead, do an introduction for yourself. Tell us your day-to-day role and maybe one of your passions in life.
Hi, Brent. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm the person that runs partnerships here at Referral Candy. We are one of the oldest referral marketing platforms in the Shopify ecosystem. I've been at the company for 7 years. So my day-to-day, it includes, first of all, dealing with our partners. So kind of like the network of different partners that we have between agencies and affiliates and tech platforms. And then at the same time, coordinating different projects with the rest of the team. So I spend most of my day talking to people inside and outside the company, which is something I love. And one of my passions, I would say probably right now, my number one passion outside of work is surfing. So I try to spend as much time in the water as I can.
That's awesome. And I am someday going to be a surfer. I can say that I'm a horrible surfer right now, but I would certainly like to be a better. I can do stand-up paddleboarding just fine, but man, I'm really struggling on the surf and snowboarding too. I'm kind of old for snowboarding, but anyways, surfing is also my passion, and I plan on doing a lot of surfing this week. So it's a couple weeks. So anyways, good. So Raul, I know that one thing we talked about is that you have volunteered to be in our free joke project. I'm just going to tell you a joke, and all you have to do is say, should this joke be free, or should we charge for it someday? So here we go. A weasel walks into a bar. The bartender says, "Wow, I've never served a weasel before. What can I get for you?" "Pop," goes the weasel.
Okay. Should this joke be free, or should we charge for it?
Yeah, what do you think?
I think it could probably be free.
Yeah. I agree. I warned you it wasn't going to be very good. So, good. So, you know, I'm always interested in what's trending out there in the e-commerce space. Tell us a little bit about what you see happening nowadays. We can probably talk a little bit about AI and Sidekick is what Shopify has now. Tell us like what you're seeing in the industry.
Hey there, it's Brent from Talk Commerce. As an entrepreneur and podcaster, I'm always looking for ways to share my message and connect with new audiences. That's why I was thrilled when I discovered PitchDB, the ultimate tool for getting booked on podcasts, speaking gigs, and media outlets. When I first tried PitchD, I was blown away by the results. I had a 100% response rate from the opportunities I pitched, and I couldn't believe how easy it was to connect with relevant hosts and planners. With over 3 million podcast opportunities, 148,000 event planners, and 31,000 plus media outlets, and 11,000 conferences at my fingertips, I felt like I had struck gold. What I love about PitchDB is how it streamlines the entire booking process. Everything is organized in one place, and I can easily search for meaningful opportunities, directly connect with decision makers, and reach engaged audiences. The integrated portal, ready-to-use templates, and seamless functionality make pitching a breeze. If you're an entrepreneur, speaking coach, or author looking to expand your reach and make a bigger impact, I highly recommend giving PitchDB a try. Head over to pitchdb.com and see for yourself how this incredible tool can transform your booking game. Trust me, you won't be disappointed.
Yeah. So I actually talked to a few mostly agencies about AI and how they were using AI to kind of work with their clients. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not yet. I'm not seeing a lot of usage of AI besides as a content generation tool. So a lot of agencies are using it to write better product descriptions and kind of like write better content for landing pages and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not, and besides the new tool by Shopify, which kind of reminds me a little bit of Kit, which is something that they also launched a few years ago before AI was kind of without that kind of component. But yeah, besides that, I'm not really seeing a lot of different usage for AI in e-commerce as of yet. I mean, but obviously, this probably by the time that we publish this podcast, something new will come up. So, yeah, things are going pretty fast. What I'm seeing in the e-commerce world is, well, we're approaching the busiest time of the year for sellers, pretty much on all platforms. And so, I mean, it's been a slow year. It's been also a kind of a weird year because we're fully out of the pandemic. And then between last year and this year, lots of retail sales have started to, come back up. I remember talking to a few merchants earlier this year in 2023 and telling me how they were either planning on opening or they had already opened physical locations to kind of compensate for the loss of e-commerce sales that they were seeing, in the starting in the past 12 months, pretty much. So I mean, it's not necessarily that the e-commerce is registering lower numbers. It's more that it's kind of regressing to the somewhat normal levels that we had pre-COVID, maybe slightly higher, but it's kind of regressing to the mean. So, but yeah, there were a lot of brands that kind of came up during 2020 and 2021 that, they had some budgets and some projections that they've had to adjust and, adjustments. We've seen it all over the tech industry this year, and e-commerce obviously has been affected by that as well. I would say probably the biggest challenge that brands are dealing with right now is and we've been saying this for years, but every year just continues to be one of the main challenges for brands is dealing with the rise in ad costs. So it's getting to the point that many brands are no longer using ads or Facebook ads as a way to grow their sales, but as a way to essentially keep the lights on. You'll be surprised how many brands we talk to that, essentially they're looking for an alternative to ads to acquire customers, because at this point they're just using them for, again, to kind of like maintain the level of sales that they've been having in, you know, or try to keep up with kind of like the projections that they had. So it's not necessarily as a tool they can use to kind of like, again, grow their businesses, but more to essentially keep the lights on. And so at Referral Candy, since we offer a solution that allows merchants to turn their customer base into their sales team, it's a good alternative for that. So that's obviously, you know, we're seeing a lot of conversations happening in that space.
That's interesting. Do you think that this is also going to encourage more brands to invest into organic SEO to get traffic naturally?
That's another, I mean, yeah, that's always the, I was going to say the second channel, but it's definitely one of the main channels that brands have always focused on. It's an extremely targeted audience. It's extremely, it's an audience that has a lot of intent. You know, if they're looking for your product and you're right up there in the first results, then obviously, you know, they're definitely going to consider you. Something really interesting that that actually discussed with a couple of agencies recently, and it's pretty related to what you're mentioning about organic traffic, is that there's a difference between how brands who sell products that customers need and brands that sells products that customers want are reacting to this, you know, not necessarily calling recession, but, you know, this at times right now in which, you know, sales are a little bit more flat than they were a few years ago. Brands who have products that customers need are doing much better. And it's because it's because exactly what you mentioned about organic traffic. So if you're selling a product, and, you know, for example, this could be a really good example, right? Like headphones. Maybe I need headphones for recording, or I need headphones to, you know, go to the gym. I'm gonna go and look for what's the best option for my budget, right? So if I'm gonna spend $100, $200, $1,000, you know, I'm gonna go and do research. I'm going to look at different articles about what are the best brands that people are recommending. And then I'm going to make a more informed decision. So by the time I reach the website of the company that sells the headphones that I'm probably going to buy, I have a lot of intent. And so those brands that sell products that could be needs, and again, doesn't necessarily have to be basic needs. It could be some sort of purchase that's not an impulse purchase. It's a purchase that you make by, you know, informing yourself and reading about it and asking for opinions. Those brands are doing a lot better than the brands that are selling products that could be more impulse buys. So typically fashion. Fashion could also be kind of a need product if you have maybe, you know, kind of going back to the gym example, if you're looking for maybe like, you know, workout apparel or something like that. But for the most part, the apparel purchases or clothing purchases that you see, typically it starts with an ad with like a very visual piece of content that you see on Instagram or you see on Facebook. And then kind of like the funnel starts there. So those brands are not doing as well as the other brands that I mentioned, the ones that are selling need products, we call them that way, because they rely a lot more on ads. And so if they rely a lot more on ads to acquire customers, then obviously their customer acquisition costs are a lot higher. And again, I've heard of brands just, you know, kind of like spending their essentially profits on ads to kind of keep the engine running. So yeah, that was pretty interesting that you brought up the organic traffic, because again, we're seeing a very different type of behavior between those two types of e-commerce brands.
We have a new sponsor. Their name is Endear, and they are a CRM for Shopify retail clients. And one of the things that they're promoting is clienteling, where the salespeople in store are working on bringing customers in via the POS system to bring them, you know, more traffic to their websites. Have you seen this sort of trend happening? And have you heard of the word clienteling?
I don't think I have, actually. But I mean, we've seen it at Referral Candy in a somewhat similar way. For example, I guess it's more about like kind of like the offline interaction. So when somebody runs a referral program on Referral Candy, the kind of the traditional way of letting customers know about the referral program is by sending them an email after the purchase, or maybe a few days after the purchase, after they receive the product, or showing them a pop-up with information about the referral program. So those are kind of like traditional ways. But we've seen customers kind of realize that that, I mean, by customers, I mean our customers, so e-commerce brands. So we've seen a lot of e-commerce brands that are starting to go for that offline type of interaction, which, you know, kind of assuming it's kind of like the same of the product that you're mentioning, of having people at the physical store send customers online. This is kind of similar. So what they're doing is that they're placing kind of like physical cards with information about the referral program in the packaging. So when the consumer is opening the package and looking at the product, they can actually see the physical card, and they're gonna pay a lot more attention to that. And again, I think we're also kind of going back in general. We're going back to more traditional kind of marketing methods. Word of mouth is one of them, but also kind of like going after that real life type of interaction. I think it's something that it's definitely trending. One trend that I definitely see, and I spoke to a few brands in the UK about it, they're starting to use physical mail again. And so obviously this is not something you can use with a customer that you don't already have. So it's a more a retention tool, but you know, instead of sending them an email with, you know, with images of, you know, whatever new product you're releasing, you have their physical address. So you can send them an actual, you know, little book, kind of like the IKEA, you know, magazines that some people have their home. So, you get like a catalog, or you get, you know, some sort of physical mail with information about the product. So I'm not surprised that there's more and more tools that are kind of trying to bridge that interaction between offline and online, because at the end of the day, we probably have, as consumers, we probably have a higher attention span in real life than we do when we're looking at our phones or our computers. So it makes sense.
Yeah. And so if you look at the trends or what's going to happen this coming Black Friday, Cyber Monday, what do you see happening that's different from last year, and how are e-commerce brands now kind of trying to get that traffic in the short term for some of these things that, you know, like a Black Friday event, if they're yeah, sort of cutting back on ads, or if ads are ineffective?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Black Friday is for a lot of brands right now, it's probably been like this for a few years. It's more like kind of like something they have to do, not necessarily very excited about it. But you know, they kind of have to do it because they know their customers are expecting it. Something that I have seen from talking to agencies, is that, e-commerce brands don't have the kind of like stock related issues that they had last year. So because last year, they, you know, a lot of brands, maybe they had overstocked because they were expecting higher sales throughout the year, and so they had, you know, kind of like additional stock that they wanted to get rid of by Black Friday. So you know, that's why we probably saw higher deals or sales than we saw in previous years. This year it's not really the case. Obviously after 2022 and the beginning of 2023, where again we kind of had an idea of what the year was going to look like. Brands were able to adjust their stock and adjust kind of like the products that they're going to have available for Black Friday and Cyber Monday a little bit better. And so they don't have that rush to get the products out. They can probably, they're probably not going to offer as bigger discounts as they did in previous years. Actually, Amazon, they just had, well, in multiple countries, but they've had, I don't know if they're called like Amazon Days, but discounts were not what we are used to seeing, or what we used to see a few years ago on Amazon. So again, I think Black Friday or Monday, it's going to be a little bit softer in terms of deals for consumers. So again, those consumers that might want to wait until the end of Black Friday, like the very end, to kind of get a last minute sale, they're probably not going to have any by the time they try to reach it. But I think for the brands, it's probably going to be a little bit better, because they're going to be able to sell a decent amount without having to, you know, compromise on really high discounts. So, but again, this could also end up happening, you know, just total opposite of what I'm saying, but this is what, you know, brands and agencies are kind of preparing for.
And do you think that brands are going to spend more on Amazon ads if they're doing that sort of sponsored ad on Amazon, or is it just across the board that ads are more expensive and not as effective?
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you really about Amazon because we only work with direct to consumer brands. But yeah, across the board, it's getting very expensive. And one thing that I do hear a lot from brands is that they're just having a lot of kind of uncertainty from one month to another in terms of what's working or not. So they might run a campaign on Facebook that works really well. The next month, it's just, or like a few weeks later, it's you know, definitely no longer there. So that kind of level of uncertainty, on top of the fact that, again, it's a lot more expensive. I think it's kind of making things a little bit more difficult. That being said, you need to be there. I mean, if there's a time in which you need to be in front of your customers, for some brands, it's Black Friday, Cyber Monday. There's other brands that, you know, they've been able to kind of build a somewhat, you know, more loyal customer base, and they don't have to rely on Black Friday. Also, maybe because of the nature of their products. There's companies that just don't want to offer discounts, and it's kind of like one of their policies. And so Black Friday for them is just any other day, and customers are, their loyal customers are expecting that, and they're not gonna, you know, feel betrayed by the fact that they're not getting their favorite products at a cheaper deal. So, but the ones that typically rely on that big spike on sales traditionally, they're just gonna have to do what they've been doing for the past few years. So they're gonna have to, spend money on ads even if they're more expensive. But you know, it's a time of the year where everybody's advertising and everybody's targeting the same keywords and obviously in different niches, right? But everybody is going after the same kind of new customers. So I think the goal for those brands should be what to do after you have acquired that customer. So do you have a post-purchase plan ready for that person? Whether it is to make them more loyal by asking them to refer you to their friends and family, or is it, you know, by having them, leave a review, you know, whatever it is, but have a clear path for that customer that you're about to acquire, and not just, you know, don't just try to get for the customer that you're just looking for like a really good deal and then, you know, never hear back from them.
One of the trends that I saw for this year is post-purchase customer journeys and making mm-hmm. sure that new products and complementary products are introduced to the client after they purchase. So even think about, you go to your accounts panel in Shopify to see your orders. They're using that part to advertise, as well as even the follow-up order emails, things like that. Do you see those sort of trends happening across the board?
We see, I mean, we've always seen it on referrals. So, I mean, the brands that are serious about running a referral program, they know that the post-purchase path is crucial. So whether it is, if there isn't referral candy, whether it is by using our post-purchase email or by using Klaviyo to incorporate a referral step in, you know, in their post-purchase flow, they have a pretty clear idea of where they want those customers to go after the purchase. So, like I said, it could be you want to recommend products that are similar to the ones that they have just bought, or maybe offer some sort of deal for a follow up purchase after that, or ask them to refer a friend, which is kind of like a really good way of combining both. So you're giving your customers a discount on their next purchase if they refer a friend. So it's kind of a win-win situation for everybody. So definitely yes, and you know, we all know that retaining a customer is a lot cheaper than acquiring a new one. And now more than ever, you need to have your customers retain as much as possible. Have them stick around with you. If it's not by making a purchase right away, at least make sure that they are, you know, subscribed to your content. So they're staying in the loop about your, you know, what other products you might be dropping down the line, or by, again, having them join a referral program, for example, which is a really good way of kind of keeping them around, because it keeps your brand top of mind. That customer might not buy from you anytime soon, but their friends might. And if you can help them influence their friends' purchase decisions, then that's a really big deal, because that's a customer that's going to be a lot cheaper to acquire. And then once you acquire that customer, the cycle starts all over again. You're asking that new customer, the friend of your customer, to refer their friends. And so the network kind of just keeps increasing. So yeah, post-purchase path, whatever it is that you decide to do, it's absolutely crucial.
I want to switch gears a little bit and just talk a little bit about partnerships, and maybe you could help educate our listeners who are, say, a D2C brand or a merchant on the importance of partnerships. Even, and I know that you had mentioned SaaS partnerships, but mm-hmm. as a brand, having partnerships with others, maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say there's two types of partnerships that e-commerce brands can start engaging with, or can at least put in their roadmap for next year. So, and it's pretty similar to the type of partnerships that you can do when you are in B2B. So we work with e-commerce companies, but myself as the partnerships lead at Referral Candy, I work with other tech companies doing, you know, co-marketing or like, you know, co-selling to mutual customers, or we work with affiliates, or we work with agencies that are selling our product to their customers. So at the end of the day, a partnership is a mutually beneficial relationship between two parties that have kind of like the same objective. And it's the same thing for brands. So two main ways for brands to engage in partnerships. The first one is kind of co-selling, doing that kind of co-marketing with other brands. So if you are selling, if you have another brand that you are aware of and you guys are kind of, selling to the same type of customer, but you're selling products that are, you know, complementary to each other. So, I mean, a really, really easy example, if we're selling shoes and some other brand selling socks, well, then that's a great partnership that you can build there if your products are kind of aligned in that way. So co-selling by, again, targeting each other's email lists, that could be a goldmine for a lot of brands because, again, it gives you access to potentially thousands of customers that it would have cost you a lot of money to acquire through ads. Or you can do, some sort of like, you know, co-branded type of landing page for your products, and, you know, both companies are driving traffic to that page. We see that a lot in SaaS partnerships where a lot of SaaS companies, they kind of put deals in a landing page and then all of them kind of drive traffic to the same page. That's something that can definitely be done for e-commerce as well. And then the other kind of bucket of partnerships is influencer marketing. And I would say, and influencer marketing is typically seen as a kind of transactional type of relationship between the brand and the influencer. And I think it has to be a partnership. So when a brand is engaging with an influencer, they should be there for the long run, and they should figure out a way in which kind of both parties have skin in the game. So the way that most influencers work is that, you know, they get paid for the content they generate, and then, you know, whether they generate sales from that content or not, that's not their problem. It's more, you know, for the brand to figure out a way to monetize that content on their end. But they have to pay up. The brand has to pay up front. We've actually developed a separate tool from Referral Candy that's called Influencer Candy that kind of matches brands with influencers, and it makes sure we try to make sure that both parties have skin in the game. So the brand, they pay a little bit upfront, but then they also pay a commission to the influencer, and then the influencer can also, it's going to be more motivated to generate content that's going to perform well because they have their skin in the game. They're going to get a commission for all the sales they generate. So again, that kind of mutually beneficial situation in which both parties are almost in the same level, it's something that you don't typically see in influencer marketing, but those are the type of relationship you should strive for if you're a brand. So maybe don't go after the huge influencers, go after micro influencers that are in your niche, and try to create a relationship that it's more based on trust and almost like a friendship, to be honest with you, than transactional in the sense of like, you know, how much do you charge? You know, here's my content, you get paid, and that's the end of it.
Yeah, it's awesome. Thank you. We've burned through a good 20 minutes already. So Raul, we have a few minutes left here still. As I close out the podcast, I give everybody a chance to do a shameless plug about anything you'd like. What would you like to plug today?
I would like to plug Referral Candy. So again, for brands that are serious about turning their customer base into their marketing or their sales team, they should start thinking about word of mouth marketing and starting a referral program on their online store, because that's the best way that you can reward your customers for their loyalty. Do it all in an automated way. So new customers come in, you invite them to join the referral program, they refer their friends, and then, you know, everybody gets a reward. It's a win-win situation for all parties involved. And so, yeah, for those brands who are thinking about running a referral program, they should check out referralcandy.com.
That's awesome. Thank you. Raul, it's been a pleasure speaking to you today. I hope you get out and do some surfing after this or tomorrow morning, whatever time it is for you. Yeah, thanks. I will, if they need to get in touch with you, how should they get in touch with you?
They can email me. My email is RaulG, so R-A-U-L-G at referralcandy.com. And yeah, I'm always happy to take questions or start a conversation there.
Great. And I will make sure I put all that in the show notes. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
Talk Commerce is a production of Content Basis, LLC. For more creative content, go to contentbasis.io.